This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, John Martin. It's a big Daily Memphian day, honestly, on the radio show. Today we got John Martin in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And Sam Hardiman after that. So very busy day here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Is today the last day to get your real ID and you need it tomorrow? I think that's right.
Oh, no, I thought it went live today.
It went live today.
I saw on Fox 13, I believe, they had a reporter at the airport tracking the
people
scene. I think today's the day.
Someone at the airport tracking the scene. We did find out yesterday that if you don't have your real ID, we got confirmation of this, that you would still be allowed.
All right, so I've got some release from the TSA. You ready?
It's here. Yeah, today. It's here. Today's the day. Yes, we'll still be allowed to fly, said Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security, said travelers without a federally recognized document would face additional screening Wednesday, but we would not be barred from flights. So there you go. How about that?
Yeah, they also said in the release, if you are over 18 and don't have a real ID, you should get to the airport at least 3 hours early because you will be subject to the delays and additional screenings.
Yeah, I think that's right. So you just get there early. You can fly. This is actually meaningful to us, as I discussed the other day when we took all these helpful calls on the real ID, because I have a passport. Claire has neither a real ID nor a passport, and we are flying in June to Colorado for a wedding.
All right, so I'm also seeing this.
And so that, it's a little touching.
There are a few acceptable alternatives beyond just the passport. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. A state-issued, quote, enhanced driver's license.
Yeah, no, we don't have one of those.
Yeah, we definitely don't have that. The U.S. passport, as mentioned. DHS Trusted Traveler Cards. That is Global Entry, Nexus, Sentry, Fast. No, people have Global Entry here.
Oh, do they?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's be honest. I'm looking at this purely through the selfish.
Well, I've got a long list for you.
Okay.
A U.S. Department of Defense ID. I'm sure you'll have one of those.
One of those. Yep.
A permanent residence card. No. An acceptable photo ID issued by a federally recognized tribal nation or Indian tribe.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. Elizabeth Warren has that. A foreign government issued passport. A Canadian driver's license. A transportation worker identification credential, U.S. citizenship and immigration, employment authorization card, a merchant marine credential, nothing, and the VH.
But here's the point. You can still fly. And this is something, I think it was, I don't know, it was within the last year and a half.
Jeffrey, isn't Claire just better off getting a passport?
You recall, well, I do think at this point,
right?
I had suggested,
I think it's
going to
be easier.
Go ahead and get a passport at this point. And probably quicker. I did, however, as we discussed once upon a time, there was a recent trip I took to New York where I noticed once I'd got to New York that my license had disappeared and I was faced with, what do you do? So I Googled it, right? And what you do is you show up to the airport anyway.
Yep.
You show up to the airport anyway and you say, I lost my ID. And then what they do, they take you to the side And they give you a very amusing full cavity search. No, they don't at all. They just ask you a few extra questions, and then they let you go. That's it. Well, no big deal. Now, the problem is there will be more people doing this, and so it will be even slower. And I suspect this is one that if I were a I'd want to drag my feet and make the people wait, because you want people to have incentive to keep doing this. You don't want people showing up without their real IDs. So I'm not going to be rushing.
The deterrent, if you will.
I'm not going to be rushing. It's going to be more, for me, if I were involved, it would be more Popeye's level of service as opposed to Chick-fil-A level of service.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
For sure.
So that is happening today, and we'll see how that all unfolds.
And I honestly, if you want to go with the Popeye's metaphor, maybe like every 11th, 12th person, like just feel like, Yeah.
What happens to the 11th or 12th person of Popeye's?
Listen, it's just kind of, sometimes you just don't get your order.
What do you mean don't get your order?
You get somebody else's order. Sometimes you just get probably some, like, actually no order. You just get whatever they have back there.
By the way, we had folks visiting last night. Claire's son Conroy had some folks who came in from Louisville to check on him, see how he's doing here. And they went out to eat at like 8 or 9 at night in our neighborhood, which is, folks, we're basically near the
Las Delicias.
I suggested all kinds of places, right? They could go to Belmont,
Yorkshire.
They could go to Las Delicias. Yeah, but I live over here by, you know where the other Neils is, people? I live in there in the other Neils. You know, that's where I live. And they said, no. I couldn't believe this. They said, we're going to Sushi King. That's what they suggested. Sushi King on Park.
The new one on Park?
I have never been to a Sushi King. Sushi King to me, I don't need to disparage it. It could be great. It looks like a tire store. It's so lit up. It could be Tire King.
Well, and you know, you've got the Firestone
right behind it. Yeah, it just seems like a place I think that might have more with
the shopping center than the actual Sushi King itself.
Because
it does have like those windows and everything.
Is it a reasonable sushi place?
I've never been, but I mean, it's open.
Well, it is open. It's still open. That's not much of a Yelp review. It's open.
I think that's actually a Yelp review these days.
It is. It's open. So, all right. Anyway, so we got the real ID today, and then we also, of course, have the conclave has begun.
Mm-hmm.
The conclave is underway, and so my question for you: I'm not going to ask you to name the next pope. I'm not even going to ask you to name the sports figure who would make the best pope.
Okay,
that's an interesting question. Right. Who, you know, Josh, maybe, you know.
Well, I mean, we have to go through the reality of. Should they at least have to be Catholic? I'm not, obviously, sports figure.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I think Patino's got too many skeletons.
I'm with you.
And Calipari would like to be Pope, but I think same thing.
And a little too much Methodist. I think he has a little overlap there.
Cal does?
Yeah, I think there was. They also did some Mullins. I mean, obviously, Cal is
Catholic. He'd go.
I think maybe Ellen's Methodist
all the time. Cal would.
I think Ellen's maybe Methodist. I know they did a lot for Mullins over on Walnut Grove.
Suddenly the Catholic Church would have a chip on its shoulder, big old chip on its shoulder. And but anyway,
well, is the Catholic Church the Kentucky job?
The Catholic Church is in fact the Kentucky job.
Like maybe being a bishop is the Memphis or Arkansas job. But yeah. I do think being
and
Pope
be honest,
is the UK job.
He didn't win enough at Kentucky. I mean, he had a big job. He didn't win enough at
Kentucky.
Certainly
down the stretch.
He got close.
We didn't finish strong.
Got close, but in the end. So anyway, I'm not going to ask it. I'm simply going to ask you, pick the day. When are we going to have a new Pope? And I think what Fishman told us was they get the weekend off. They're voting today.
No chance today because it's an afternoon vote, right?
They're not voting today. Like, no one deserves. It's just like you're getting into the Hall of Fame,
no one's getting voted in.
Because you don't want anyone to be unanimous in the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's the same thing. You don't want anyone. You don't look like you didn't try, like there wasn't some wrangling and some back and forth. So today there will be a vote, but there will not be a Pope.
Okay.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, Charles told us there's
two votes each.
I'm saying this gets done by Friday because I'm with Charles. There's 0% chance they want to be there over the weekend.
Are they doing it on Friday?
I feel like a nice Friday morning. They're going to get it done Friday morning vote.
And then it's going to be like the East Salo.
And then maybe if they want to stay Friday afternoon in the Holy City.
Maybe Friday morning. So that's what I'm saying. Not a news dump.
Yeah.
During the show. Finally, something's going to happen during the show.
For us, it'll be after the show. You do realize how time zones
work. Oh, that's true. Yes. No. No, for us, it'll be well before the show. Well before the show because their time starts. Yes, it'll be before the show. By the time we come in and start the show on Friday.
I'm saying we'll have a new pope.
New pope.
Although I've never understood. Do we have a new pope or does the church have a new pope?
We all have a new pope, ladies and gentlemen. We all have a new pope. Yeah. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Lock that in.
More questions.
Lock that in. Jeffrey and I agree on something. There will be a new pope.
We agree on a lot of
things. By Friday. Yeah, we do agree on a lot of things. There's football news.
Yeah, there is.
And we'll get to that. But, of course, we start with last night's events. You want to start with the let's start with the Golden State game.
Do we have to?
And the news there.
I'm dead serious. No sarcasm, I racked my brain.
Want to skip it?
No, I think it was the worst playoff basketball game I've watched between teams that were like. This wasn't like a 1-8, and the 8 was done. Like this was a
semifinal
game 1 of the second round. This game was god awful. If you're a Golden State, it wasn't like Golden State played well. It's just they happened to be on the floor with Minnesota
Golden
at the
State
same time.
Played well defensively.
I agree.
Golden State played well defensively. I mean, listen. they limited the T-Wolves to not just 30. It's the 31 points in the first half was impressive. The 11 points in the second quarter, that was super impressive. Now, there's the T-Wolves out there missing their first 15 threes. Missing their first 15 threes. And so much of this, we talked about this yesterday when it came to the Celtics game, Knicks game. So much of this is three-point shooting. But they ended up 5 of 29 from 3. And by the way, they also didn't shoot well as they beat the Lakers.
I think they actually finished with a higher three-point percentage in this game than they did in the closeout game.
And they were, to be clear, they were 4th in three-point shooting percentage in the regular season. So it is not a bad three-point shooting team, but it certainly has been the last two games. One cost them. One did not. And I hate to say this, Draymond was terrific. Draymond was terrific.
Comment.
He had the 4 threes in the first half, and he was a massive part of that defensive effort. Obviously, the big news is Steph is out with a left hamstring strain. And by all accounts, he will miss games.
I think it's certain he's missing game 2. I think we've seen the Warriors in they'll punt a game.
They will punt a game. Yes, they will punt a game. I think it's pretty certain he'll miss a game. Steve Kerr said he was absolutely crushed. It's pretty clear he will miss at least a game. Here's the thing. There is only one day between games 1, 2, 3, and 4 in this series. There is a sort of odd 3-day break between 3 days off between games 4 and games 5. And so you think, if I were a wagering man, which, you know, I'm not, but you are, don't you think he'll be back for game 5? 3 days off. 3 days.
I think he's going to try before that.
You think he'll try before that?
Yeah. I think he's clearly missing the next game.
Okay. Let's say they got to play 3 without him, though. Let's say they do have to play up through 5. What will the series be? What will the series be? The game score, what will it be when he comes back for game 5? If he mixes the next 3. Will the Warriors be 2 up? Will they be 2 apiece? Will they win one of the next 3 without him?
My gut says they'll be 2-2.
That's what I'm saying. You think they will win one of the next 3?
I'll actually say this about the Timberwolves, because I was very high on them coming into this. If you can't take advantage with your front court in that situation, where also it wasn't like you really had to honor.
What's weird is their size was massively effective against the Lakers.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, whoa, this thing may work, right, for them. And it was not at all last night.
And I give credit to
Draymond.
Give credit to the felon. he does guard up better than anyone the Lakers have. Like, he guards bigger bigs much better than they do.
I mean, honestly, it was a, listen, I don't like the Warriors. I don't root for the Warriors. But between Draymond's effort, Jimmy Butler, who really controlled the pace of the game, you know, without Steph
there. No, I think he just nailed it. He controlled the game.
He controlled the game. And then Buddy Hield doing what he did. Buddy Hield, who showed up to the game wearing the wrong shorts. So they had to take a time. And I don't really understand how that happens. They were talking about this on Unsportsman. Like, you go into the locker room before the game, the equipment managers lay out your clothes.
I didn't. So because obviously we were watching, we had the end of the Cavs game before it. So they just cut in and they just let us know what happened. Right. And I wasn't all that interested. I also learned two things. I thought it was a tech. I didn't think it was a timeout.
No, it was a timeout.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. I learned that it was a timeout, not a tech. Yeah. But I'm with you. My first thought was like, it's one thing in high school if you bring the wrong jersey.
Right. How does that happen?
I have no idea.
Manager issue?
Yeah. Someone just laid out the
clothes. Or does he laid out the clothes and he grabbed the wrong thing or something? It just seems weird. I don't know why.
Or the only other thing I can think of is he wore different shorts in warm-ups and he planned to go change forgot to change.
He then came out and suitably distracted, as I would be, missed his first seven shots, but erupted after that, had 22 of his 24 points in the second half. They said that normally you needed Robin. I guess Robin is Jimmy Butler. Batman is Steph. So Jimmy Butler had to be Batman last night, which means that they talked about Buddy Hield as Robin last night. He's been a hell of a Robin because he has now put together, he obviously had 33 in their win over Houston and then had 24 last night along with 8 rebounds. So it was it was a gutty effort in a, I agree with you, a hideous game by the Warriors.
And in fairness to the Warriors, maybe that's the type of game you have. If there's no Steph, it's not going to be a work of art.
I mean, you got Pat Spencer out there running around, and he's Pat Spencer, Cam's brother.
Yes,
is going to be in the rotation certainly as long as Steph is out. I mean, you had Kuminga was thrown back in there last night. He made a big three. So then the other news was really how badly the Timberwolves played, and particularly how badly the Timberwolves shot, and in particular how badly Ant played, at least early. Body language not great.
Oh, I wouldn't even say early. Yeah. The whole game. The 23 points is so misleading.
Yeah. He missed his first 10 shots, which is why I say early. But then his body language, all of it, such that Chris Finch, the head coach, talked about this after the game. He said, "What is there to talk about? You're the leader of the team. You've got to come out and set the tone. If your shot is not going, you still have to carry the energy. If I've got to talk to guys about having the right energy coming in an opening second round game, then we're not on the same page." How about that?
I mean, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Jeff, he had 14 turnovers himself.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Now, he did not deal well with adversity.
No.
Let's just say that. Folded in the face of adversity. So again,
it's like in the Lakers game, yeah, he didn't shoot well, but he was clearly at a different motivation level. He was still impacting the game. It was, I don't know, it was bizarre to me.
Certainly not what I expected, honestly, at all from the T-Wolves or from Ant, right?
This is the only game I bet in the first series. I'm
0-1. Oh, well, no wonder you're bringing your energy about this.
Well, thing. No, I'm just, I mean, honestly.
No, it was all those things. Okay. So then the second game is one of those games where
you question everything about sports.
You question everything, and you also, I mean, we've seen a lot of these recently, and this goes back to the Memphis-Kansas championship game. It's certainly the Duke game recently. How the hell did we lose this? Like, how the hell did we lose this? You are up when Donovan Mitchell hits those free throws with 57 seconds left. That puts you up by 7. You do not advance the ball over half court after that. Not only do you not get a shot, you've got the Nesmith tip dunk and the review and all of that, right? That happens. And you just go back. This is like the Pats beating the Falcons. Like, you go back and you think, wait, if just one of these things hasn't happened. So that's overturned. And then immediately you got the charge on Mitchell.
Yep.
Right? They score. Then you got the bad inbounds pass. Like, yep. No one can seemingly inbound the ball anymore. So you got the bad inbound pass. But then even then, you can't get the rebound on the missed foul shot.
Yep.
So I mean, it's crazy. Like, you go back at any one of those things, you would be tied at one. Instead, no Mobley, no Garland, no DeAndre Hunter, and you're down 0-2, and it's a total gut punch. And by the way, you're going on the road.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is just one of those games where you just question, like, why did I ever watch sports? Like, if you're a Cavs fan.
Well, if you're
fan,
a Cavs fan, why do I care? Yeah. Why did I choose to be a sports
Correct.
Fan? I mean, they were talking about the other day, someone said, the most exciting finishes ever, whatever. And you know what they always include? 13 seconds. They always include Bills, Kansas
Sorry,
City.
What?
Exactly. And it's one of those where you just, why? Wouldn't it be better if I didn't care anything about sports and I just went to the art museums in Cleveland?
Or if, like, just we didn't convert a fourth down.
Yeah, it was just you couldn't believe it. And again, you look at every one of the things that had to go wrong, every one of the things that had to go right for the Pacers. And you know what I don't want? I don't want Pacers-Celtics advancing. I'm not interested in that.
I would say get ready, my friend.
And I think that's likely, right?
I mean, I know the Celtics are sitting down 0-1, but I think we all can kind of agree that felt like the flukiest of all the losses.
Right now, don't you think it'll work out that it's going to be – who's going to win this? I think Minnesota's going to win the series. It's going to be Minnesota.
I really wish we
Oklahoma
had a better,
City,
I wish
Oklahoma
we had a
City
better
advancing.
Feel of – because Steph is literally my age.
Right.
When you pull your hammy –
That's the thing.
In your late 30s.
That's why I think Minnesota will ultimately win. They won't be able to do without – if they don't have Steph, they will not be able – I don't think they're going to win a game without Steph, another game without Steph.
So in your scenario, you think they go back – so that would be to Minnesota at 3-1? So you think they're going to win three straight? Because you think he's not
no
coming back
Steph,
to game five?
I think they don't win a game without Steph.
I still think
maybe,
that –
Maybe one at Golden State?
I still think Minnesota's going to win, and I still think Oklahoma City's going to win.
That's what I think. And then Oklahoma City, and so we're going to have Boston, Oklahoma City, which is, in fact, in all of this topsy-turviness, which is what we would have said at the beginning.
And while Cleveland is now down 0-2, that series has context.
It's funny. This is the other thing we talk about all the time, is that you just got to get to the playoffs and hope health breaks your way.
Yep.
Right? And what are we seeing right now? Minnesota is down, but health is certainly breaking their way.
Yep.
You know, the Grizzlies have played the Warriors, and who went down? It was Ja. It wasn't Steph. If Steph had gone down, would have turned out differently. I can tell you that right now.
Mike Conley goes down with
Mike
a broken
Conley,
face.
Like, you get and you hope that injuries go your way. Cleveland, listen, they blew it last night, but part of the problem was they didn't have – if they had Evan Mobley to rebound and if they had Darius Garland to be a ball handler, they would not have lost that game.
Let's be real. A big reason they lost is Ty Jerome was on the floor.
He was one. Yeah, he was terrible. Ty Jerome is supposed to be the guy. And by the way, Ty Jerome is the guy who, at various points, if you're just ducking into the Cleveland hell when they play Memphis, you're like, damn, why can't the Grizzlies have a guy like Ty Jerome?
Yep,
right. And he was awful. But yes, if you had had Darius Garland and or Evan Mobley, I don't believe they would have collapsed.
If you just have one of them.
The collapse was in part because of their...
If you just have Garland, you would have at least gotten the ball inbound.
Exactly. If the Garland, you would have gotten the ball inbound, and Mobley, you might have gotten a rebound.
Yeah.
So it just would have been a different situation, and I don't believe they would have collapsed, but now...
I do think the good news for us locally, if you want to bring it back, I think it's safe to say the Grizzlies don't have the most gut-wrenching loss of the playoffs.
I think that's safe to say. I think not most gut-wrenching loss in the playoffs, and... yeah, you look around and you see other teams bedeviled by injury. You see other teams, you know. I say this at the end of the time. When teams lose, their fans hate them, you know, except for Detroit. But, like, Laker fans weren't happy when their team,
sure.
you know, finally lost.
Houston.
Houston fans, they're probably still happy.
They were, because that was a game seven at home.
Houston is wondering, what we can do now, what we have to do now to go get a star. And unlike Grizzlies fans, they think they can get a star.
Sure.
A star will go to Houston. That's the difference. It's A, it's not just that Houston
Which
has
Which I would
stuff.
Also point out is that misguided. They got James Harden. But it's
let's say KD. Let's say KD is available. Let's say Giannis. I don't think either of them, if they're willing
to... Do we
to
know be, Giannis is...
if they're willing to be traded, I suspect they're willing to be traded to Houston. And they would
do
not
we
have
know
been,
Giannis's feelings on strip clubs?
Doesn't seem like a...
I would think, but I don't know.
Doesn't seem... By the way...
You can always have the sneaky strip club guy.
How about Pope? We were talking about sports figures who could make a good Pope. He would look awesome in the Popemobile.
Is there also the
issue?
There's no question the hat would be awesome.
The hat would be great.
But I always wonder, is there still a Greek versus Rome rivalry?
I don't know. He could bring it together. We bring it all to peace times. All brought together. Mm-hmm. I think Giannis is my guy for Pope. I think we've stumbled upon the answer.
I'm willing to accept him as a nomination.
You tell me as a better one. Anyone can come up with a better one.
We've got to lock ourselves in the room and talk this out.
We'll lock ourselves in the room and talk it out. Anyway, and then Draymond said Dylan Brooks a fraud. So that happened yesterday as well.
Was it Sucka?
He just said whatever. What, you know, Dylan,
it was like pot
Dylan
me
didn't
kettle.
Shake hands. Dylan, that's another thing you can be glad of. You know, you don't have to bemoan that you don't have Dylan. You don't have people laughing at you because you have
okay,
Dylan.
But should we want to have Dylan back?
I don't know. No, I think it was too much. I think it had run its course. I was never a Dylan hater. I'm grateful.
No, we were both
I'm
Dylan
grateful
agnostic.
For the energy he brought. I'm not sure if he wanted to come back and he was available on some sort of a cheap deal, which he's not. Would I want Dylan Brooks on the team? Not really. You think? You want to inject the Dylan? If you could, just like free space. You just got a free shot. You can have him.
Yeah.
Just as a guy.
Yeah, I think I'd take
deal.
Him back.
You want him back.
I think I'd take him back.
Bring some guts back to this team. Maybe. Anyway. All right. We have, as I said, we got John Martin. We got Chris Harrington. And we got Sam Hardiman. So we are busy. So I did want to talk about some other stuff before... because we have such a busy day, and that is the NFL news. Two big bits of NFL news, one bigger than the other, both receiver news. The smaller bit of news, I would say, is that Gabe Davis has been released by the Jags. Gabe Davis was a free agent acquisition by the Jags before last year. They gave him a 3-year deal, I believe, for pretty big...
$339
for pretty decent money, and it turns out, you know, back when there was this whole debate about did Josh make Steph, did Steph make Josh,
yeah.
or whatever else. So they move on from Steph. I don't know what happened to him.
Jeff, he had an all-pro year?
No, he didn't. He had
an
adequate year, and then he got hurt.
And also he was complaining again?
And he was complaining again, and now he's moved on again to yet another team. And Gabe Davis, who was considered a big play guy with the Bills. And mind you, in that tragic playoff game, the 13-second game, he was tremendous in that game. But you know who was really tremendous?
Josh Allen.
The guy delivering the ball. Yeah, the guy delivering the ball. And so Gabe Davis. Now, obviously, Jacksonville has obtained a recent receiver of some note. Their first-round pick last year. Is terrific as well. They don't really need him anymore. But Gabe Davis is available. It's funny. I saw someone speculating a landing spot, but this might have been before the other bit of news. The Bills beat writer for The Athletic was tossing out places he might go. Cowboys, Bills, and Giants, both on the list. Do you see him as a fit for your beloved Giants? Steelers is another. He could now go to the Steelers because
should kind of root for back to the Bills because this would be a Chiefs move.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to another team, gets a bunch of money in another team, and you bring him back, and then you get the best of him.
Then the other bit of news is that George Pickens has been dealt from the Steelers to the Cowboys for a third-round pick and then some later
get him talking,
swaps.
Baby.
What do you think?
So he does not have a contract.
Does not have a contract. Needs a contract.
I will say this. Jerry's kind of done a
couple of interesting moves in the sense of he seems to be getting guys that are kind of on contract years, hoping to get the best of them. That seems to maybe be his strategy in terms of, because, you know, they don't have a ton of cap space. Like, they don't
have
a ton.
Who else have they added?
Let's see. Their entire offseason has been.
Right.
But it's been like a lot of like, okay, like it's like kind of gamblings. Let's, where's their.
I mean, if you are a Cowboys fan today, you're happy, right? You are happy. I think it's pretty clear. Because they added Javonte Williams at running back, Miles Sanders at running back. Not really much. Dante Fowler, who's former first-round defensive end, is knocked around for forever, added him. But if you're a Cowboys fan, you're happy, aren't you? Because, like, whatever. When someone moves on because they're a pain in the ass, just like Stephon Diggs, honestly, was in Minnesota. He moves on to the Bills because they're a pain in the ass. You're like, I don't care. He's talented. Looks
okay,
really good.
Here's the one difference,
he's going to be
though.
Really good across from CeeDee Lamb.
One difference, though.
Yeah.
Steph had a contract. So Pickens, who's a malcontent.
Right.
In a contract year.
And the Cowboys are not. They're already struggling with financial challenges, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to give him
Solomon
a contract?
Solomon Thomas was another one of the guys that I thought like they brought in kind of on that.
Are you going to give him a contract? Is he going to get a contract? Does he play this year without a contract? And if he plays this year without a contract and CeeDee Lamb's getting the targets, how's he going to feel about that?
That's my point. My suspicion is.
Still like it.
It's a fairly low risk. I'm with you on that. I just think that Jerry has been pretty clear. Like, he's cool with being on the contract
years. Steelers were like, damn, we got Calvin Austin and Rock Taylor. We don't need any George Pickens. That's what happened. They got Memphis.
Well, and DK.
And DK. No, I know that. But I was adding the Memphis, yeah. Memphis receivers. Yeah, people wondered. You had DK Metcalf, and you're like, oh, look at that. You're going to have DK on one side and George Pickens on the other?
Yeah, we knew that one.
And, yeah, I think you called this a long time ago. That seemed unlikely to happen. And sure enough, they wearied of George Pickens, and so he has moved on as well. What is the Giants wide receiver situation?
So we got Malik.
Oh yeah. Who else?
We still have Sterling Shepard.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
So you could use Gabe Davis. And obviously the coaching staff knows him.
Yeah.
You know what he's good at?
So we got Slayton.
You know what he's good at? Blocking.
Yeah, I know that's the problem.
He's really good at blocking. He's really good at blocking. All right,
Wandale.
We got a busy day. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about the NBA straight up at 10 o'clock. We got John Martin coming next and Sam Hardiman after that. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. Oh, if you have something that you need framed, I got the place for you. The Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. It's right over here. Honestly, it's right near Sushi King. The Frame Corner, Frame Corner Memphis. They've been doing it for 50 years. You can walk in, and they have beautiful frames. You can buy a frame. But you walk in there, and you're instantly like, oh, yeah, and they'll meet with you, and you'll say, I have this golf ball. I got a hole-in-one. I need the card, and I need the golf ball. And I wish I had the story that they used to run in the CA about people who had holes-in-ones, but they don't do that anymore. But I need the golf ball framed, and I don't know how to frame a golf ball. Jeffrey, could you frame a golf ball?
I certainly can't, but I know the Frame Corner can.
Yeah, Frame Corner can frame a golf ball. And they've been framing golf balls and pictures and beautiful art and jerseys and whatever else you have that you treasure. That's really what it's about. It's about treating something you treasure with respect and reverence and having it as a keepsake forever. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Going to take a break. We got John coming up next. Popped into a call this weekend and had a typically spectacular experience. I got two pairs of Brax pants, most comfortable, best looking pants I've ever worn in my life. And then they were a little bit long, so I had to get them tailored and, altered, I guess, and hemmed, whatever. And because they have the people right there on site, I got a text yesterday saying they're ready. So that was Saturday and now they're ready. So I got those. I got two pairs of Peter Millar shorts cause it's spring, summer, man. It's time. Got to spruce yourself up. I got two polos, performance polos, incredibly comfortable, good looking, sharp. And then Paul suggested I get this sort of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's made of the same performance material. It's Johnny O. And as the sports shirt, but it's long sleeve. It's got a hood. It's incredibly comfortable. You throw it on late afternoon, whatever. And honestly, I wouldn't even, like, this is the kind of thing, he suggests this. And I'm like, never would have thought of that. And then I ended up wearing it all weekend. Beautiful, beautiful piece. The clothes are beautiful, but it's their absolute knowledge of what the hell they're doing that puts them over the top. And so make sure you get yourself into Oak Hall and get ready for spring and summer sometime soon. John Martin joins us now. John, how are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there, man. What's going on?
Well, so we were thinking about the, you know, popes, possible popes. The conclave's begun. And have you wagered on that? You're a wagerer.
No, I'm not. I don't have any edge on the pope.
You don't have an edge on the pope.
No.
And Pietro Parolin is the leader in the he's the betting leader. He's basically the Secretary of State. He's Italian. He's sort of the second command. He's your basic insider, right? He's like your VP becoming pope. He's a whatever else. But then you got Louis Tagle. Tagle. He's the Asian Francis. He's the Filipino guy, right?
Right.
So he's a possibility. And I just, you know, I don't know what to think, but we were talking about who in the world of sports would make the best pope. And we settled on Giannis, I think. Did we settle on Giannis? You know, we contemplated Patino. There's like a whole...
We're in a conclave right now.
We're in a conclave right now. The whole, you know, was it Olive Garden? Where was he? At the restaurant with the, you know, whatever. We can't have Patino. There's too many...
Oh, the Italian restaurant.
The Italian restaurant. Yeah, we can't have him. Steve Kerr could enforce the code, you know, and so Steve Kerr would be a possibility. Belichick's struggling right now with his current gig, right? Belichick doesn't seem like the right guy to have. Caitlin Clark would bring new fans to the Catholicism. I think that'd be a possibility, but they don't even have women clergy yet. So female pope, are you getting money as you speak to us? What are you doing?
I wish I was getting money. This is pro bono. It's trade. Like,
what are you
United
doing
States
right now?
India.
What buttons are you pushing?
I'm driving. I'm driving my daughter's program.
Oh, I see. Okay, you're driving your daughter's program. Anyway, do you have any thoughts on who the Pope should be, John?
I mean, I think Giannis is definitely. Who doesn't like Giannis?
Exactly. Who doesn't Giannis?
I don't know if the Pope has to,
Jason
I don't know
Kidd,
if it has to be the
probably Budenholzer.
Yeah. But he's not a churchgoer, you know.
Yeah.
Neither of those guys are churchgoers. You know, Bill Belichick, no chance. I mean, his whole thing is built on lust, right? His whole entire enterprise is built on lust.
Lust?
So he's out. Yes.
Belichick
absolutely.
Is built
he's
on lust.
He's 74 years old. He's 74 and he's dating a 26 year old.
Oh, I see. It's too much lust right there. Yeah. No, I can see that. I think that's right. I hadn't
thought
of that.
So that's out of the equation.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. I haven't really thought. I haven't.
Cal?
Who is it?
Cal.
Cal? No. He would burn in the flames.
Penny?
He would hold the Bible upside down.
The problem with Penny is Penny would have a different group of Cardinals every damn year. You know, and like, you got to have some continuity. You know, you can't be changing every damn year if you're Penny. And you just, I don't think it works. I don't think it works. So
no, I think you're right. Penny would not, but it would be great. It would be great to have Penny as part of the group. You know.
Yeah. Rick Barnes wouldn't visit. He wouldn't be seen near the Vatican anytime soon.
No, you never, ever. don't ask me about the Vatican. I ain't going.
All right. On a more serious matters, John, I want you to ask about the NBA playoffs here in a moment. But we did have the news over the weekend, and there's a lot of mysteries. You know, there was the whole PJ Haggerty, is the door open, is the door closed? Now it appears the door is closed. After last week, it was open. I'm so sick of talking about PJ Haggerty. But now we got a new entrant in the mystery category, and that's Hassan Abdul-Hakim. Now, interesting guy. He's a 6'8 guard, right? And so, you know, put up some interesting numbers. Seems like he can shoot a little bit. He's in the mix with all the other guards that they have recruited. The thing is, he played 12 games, and walked out last year sort of in the middle of the season, or something happened last year in the middle of the season for UTRGV. That's Grand Valley, right? Isn't that the GV stands for? What the hell is his deal?
Yeah, I didn't even talk about him this week. I haven't even mentioned his name. Which is weird.
It's about time. I would like you to get to the bottom of this. Why did the guy play only, and his coach said that he ascribed it to, quote, an unfortunate kind of situation?
Yeah, I don't know the particulars. Honestly, it was definitely done in the dark of night, just kind of out of nowhere, because he wasn't a name that anybody talked about. So my hopes aren't really that high for him. But some of the highlights, I thought he looked like he had a brilliant burst. Like, he looked pretty explosive. Like,
highlights will do that.
And I don't know. You know, nobody even in my college basketball group chat said anything about him. You know, so I don't know. It's very strange.
Jeffrey, unfortunate kind of situation. What does that sound like to you? Like, is an NIL issue an unfortunate kind of situation? Is a some sort of charge that has been, you know, whatever.
Accusation.
Some sort of accusation.
I mean,
is that an unfortunate?
The most obvious ones that come to mind are some type of accusation. Or some type of NIL dispute. But, like, how much NIL does UTRGV have?
Texas Rio Grande Valley. Yeah, UT Rio Grande Valley. That's RGV.
I also learned that Santa Fe College is in Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, John, of the players that they have, not counting Dane Danger, okay, let me read off some of the names for you here, okay? They got Sincere Parker, Doug McDaniel, Julius Thedford, Quante Berry, Danielle Vieira Tuck, Philippe Patino, Aaron Bradshaw, right? Zachary Davis. Tell me the two most important players they have and tell me their leading scorer.
I would say Aaron Bradshaw and Doug McDaniel would be your two most important. They're the Power Five transfers, right? You need them to come in and you need to be good. I think Doug is definitely the leading scorer, though. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He's the lead guard. He's the point guard. To kind of see him try to reprise the PJ Haggerty role from last year. So I would say those two, and then I'd say Doug McDaniel's the leading scorer. Okay.
What have you learned? What has struck you watching the NBA playoffs?
Man, road teams are 5-0.
Yes, road teams are 5-0.
Have won.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. But lessons here? Are there, you know? Is it is a lesson that parody that everyone's jumped together? Is the lesson?
There's superstars on every team. I mean, go up and down the list, you know? I mean, every single team that's still playing has a superstar on it.
Tyrese Halliburton is not really a different level superstar Ja Morant, right? Than a healthy Ja Morant.
Yes. I mean, people would have him over Ja Morant, though, yes.
Because of health and everything else, but they wouldn't just on sheer talent and productivity.
Right. No, you're right. Okay, so Indiana is the outlier, and, of course, they're up 2-0. But every other, I mean, there's a Brunson, there's a Steph, there's a Jimmy, there's an Ant-Man, there's a, Jason Tatum, there's a Shea Gil.
The best of all, Jokic.
There's Jokic, yeah. I mean, so every team has.
Yeah, but you know what? Jason Tatum is a different, you don't have to have the LeBron anymore. You just need a star. Honestly, a lot of these guys aren't even, like, they're superstars, but it's not just LeBron winning titles now. It's or Michael winning titles now. It's a star level player carrying you to a title now. And
I mean, I think I would classify all those guys as
superstars. Jalen Brunson, superstar? No. Sorry.
He's an all NBA guy. He's made an all NBA team.
But he's not a LeBron level star. Yeah,
he scores 40 a night, basically. I mean, he's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
He's unguardable.
And is Jason Tatum unbelievable? Is Jason Tatum a superstar?
Totally. Totally. He has the biggest contract in the league.
He's a star, and he's a LeBron, but he's not a LeBron-level superstar.
I mean,
the only player who you would argue is a, okay, well, who are the top three players in the league right now?
Jokic.
Giannis.
Giannis, yeah. And then, you know, I probably would say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It is funny, though. Like, even he, you know, relative to superstardom.
Everybody has, you know, nights, you know. But, I mean, I think...
So you, I guess the reason I'm pushing back on that or asking about that is the suggestion everybody has a superstar and you have to have a superstar and the Grizzlies don't? Is that what the implication is?
Well, no, I think the Grizzlies absolutely have a superstar. So,
oh, I see. Okay. Well, if that's if you're just calling everybody a superstar, then I'm willing to concede.
I mean, the man has a signature shoe. He's a superstar. I think he averages 26-8 in the playoffs.
I mean, how many superstars are there in the league? 15?
I mean, I think there 20? Could be 20. Yeah.
Because there can't be 20 superstars.
Why not?
Because that makes them not super.
That's like
20 superstars?
That's nothing. That's like
Jeffrey, how many superstars are there?
See, I kind of look at it the other way. I think there's fewer than ever in terms of true
superstars.
Right. I think there's a.
I'm with you.
I think there's probably a wider.
I'll be honest. I don't think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar.
I think there's a wider gap of great players, but I don't know. I think the amount of like true
players
superstars,
who, if you put them on your team, you are instantly a championship contender.
Yeah, like who's
and
the franchise?
That is not true of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No, I've been on the record. He's kind of.
I mean, look, it's easy to say this right now when they're down 1-0, right? But
I think they're going to win the series. I'm just saying, if you put him on the Wizards tomorrow, they're not a championship contender.
Well, they're a hell of a lot better, though. I mean, the Wizards
are better. But if you put LeBron in the old days or Michael in the old days, not the pre-retirement.
I mean, no. Are you asking?
Or Jokic, or Giannis. They're
Luka.
Luka seems to me to have more potential to be a superstar. Look what he just did with Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would say Luka, but man, there are questions. He's a face of the franchise, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I didn't think the Lakers ending was great for him.
I know we've talked about him, but like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
If you put Tatum on the Wizards, I don't know.
John just has a different level. He's calling 20 people superstars, and that's fine. That's where you. What do you define that word, John? Right. A couple other things before we let you go. Do you have a real ID?
No, I do not.
But you have a passport.
Do you have a passport? We'll be gladly using that instead of waiting in those lines.
Second thing, while you were talking about Luka and his level of fitness, I know that you yourself have embarked. Again, on a new fitness journey now, right? You have embarked on a new fitness journey at where?
My friends at LA Fitness.
Okay, your friends at LA Fitness. So when we last talked to you about your fitness journey, you were doing the Peloton, and that didn't have the results that you wanted. And you've had other fitness journeys. I remember the time you and I went to Tony Ludlow boot camp, and you nearly died running around Christ Methodist Day School there, over there. Now, this one's going to take, because they've got how many locations?
7 around Memphis.
Okay. How was it? What'd you do?
Great. I mean,
What did you do, though? What did you do there?
I did the stair master for 30 minutes. I did 100 floors the other day. I didn't get a chance to get out there Monday or Tuesday. But, you know, it's not just about going to the gym. There is some accountability that comes with that, which I like. Like, I can just, like, wave off my bike at the house and go, I'll look at
it. I'll be honest. When you talked about LA Fitness... And I sounded appealing. Your enthusiasm really, like your voice changed when you talked about the sauna. Like that was the.
Oh, yeah.
When you talked about the sauna, John, are you just in it for the sauna? The sauna does not do it by itself. I got to tell you.
No, but it's like the reward after the workout. You know, you get in there, you sweat it all out, you know, again, you know, it's
the reason that gets you to go. It's the carrot.
Yes. Especially when it's cold outside, you know, you hit that sauna. Oh, I used to work out, believe it or not. I used to work out for like, I've gone through multiple iterations of this, you know, this trial and tribulation. But I used to work out with Dustin Starr at LA Fitness way back when.
Really?
And we had this routine that we would do.
Seems like he's in better shape than you, I'll be honest.
Oh, he's a beast. He's an absolute monster, dude. Like,
oh, I see.
And
you didn't just work
like,
out with him. You worked out under his supervision.
Yes. Like,
okay. You know, that makes sense. I was going to say, you and Dustin like, Starr, one thing is not like the other.
I wasn't trying to become a professional wrestler, you
right.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I felt like he'd be a good guide, you know, to learn from. And he was, actually, because I got in pretty damn good shape. I just, you know, like always, like life gets in the way and life happens, and now I got kids, and it's just tough, man. It's just a tough thing to keep going.
I wish you the best of luck with it, John. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep.
First of all, I do think, I mean, you're discovering this. When you've got kids, life's hard, right? It's hard to get all the stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just totally different. And then the other thing is that not only do you not have the time to work out, there's food everywhere. You know, there's food everywhere. And there's kid food, which is honestly pretty delicious. There's
snacks everywhere.
There's sweets everywhere. You go to parties and whatever. You go to open houses or wherever the hell it is or gatherings, and there's snacks everywhere. And then there's food like, you know what there is? There's chicken nuggets and pizza
chicken
everywhere.
Tendies, you're up
How
to your
the hell
eyes
is anyone supposed to be in shape? So it is a problem. It's funny, though. Like, people ask me, because now I do the Peloton some, but I mostly do. The thing I do most reliably now is the Pilates at Sanya. And you know what works? No, what I've decided what works, Jeffrey? Anything you do.
Yeah, just doing something?
What works is anything that you find that you will actually do.
Consistency.
And I have probably done this now for 3 years, and it's only because the official sex therapist of the Jeff Gawkins Show, Jennifer Valley, suggested it. I went, and like anything, I've quit a lot of things before. And I've averaged twice a week for 3 years now. And that is, you know, you do that. So you just got to find something that you do. You know, if you find something that you do, and hopefully for John, it's LA Fitness. I wanted to track his fitness journey because I know he cares about it. All right, we got Chris Harrington coming up next, and then we got Sam Hardiman. I will tell you that if you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. 901-461-8147. I met with him right here in the conference room. Came in, sat down. I'd heard the name, didn't know the deal. But as soon as he talked to me, I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see why people are so enthusiastic about Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. He's got an aggressive marketing plan, flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. But the other thing is now he does this deal where he will make you a guaranteed instant cash offer at full market value for your home. It's just like the random ass ones you get, except for this is a guy you know who lives in Memphis, and it's for full market value of your home. It's a much more convenient way to sell your house, and you got 4 months before you have to hand over your keys. Just another way that Josh can help you sell your home. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147. Back in a moment with Chris Harrington. It is Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.